Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you.
Okay, you all, I'm super excited to introduce our next guest, Kate Murphy. Super excited to have her on the show. She is so impressive. Love this woman so much. She is actually somebody who for many, many, many years, she helped start up and co-found and run several companies, including leading a global tech company as CEO for nearly 8 years. And now she is an ordained and initiated high priestess and an intuitive. Her passions are on both sides of the spectrum in terms of the intellect of masculine business strategy and the mysticism of divine feminine wisdom. It is her life's work to weave the masculine and feminine while guiding women home to their remembering. So I'm super excited to have her on the show. And without further ado, let's bring her on, Kate Murphy. So hello, everyone, and welcome to another brand new episode of the She's a God podcast. My name is Jen Torres. I'm the host of this show and a certified human design reader. I'm super excited for this episode today because as you've heard in the intro to this podcast, we have on Kate Murphy, who I'm super excited to like have on the podcast and like pick her brain and talk to her because she's just one of those few people that you see online and you're like, all right, like, I get that. I like that. And that's real for me. And that's how I feel about it. So like, I would love for you all to just like check her out online and see what I see because this is like inspirational for me. And it's hard to see that, you know, and not to be whatever, we'll get into it, but it's hard to see people like in the spiritual space where you're like, okay, like I got that. And that's like my vibe and that's beautiful and it's amazing and it's right on and it's like awesome. So like, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Jen. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here, especially like having not seen you in such a long time. It feels like a reunion of sorts too. So it's such a pleasure.
I know. So yeah, by the way, I mean, I've known you for like a couple of years. It feels like it could be decades, to be honest.
Probably is.
Yeah, right. Totally. So welcome to the show. And first and foremost, I mean, for people who aren't familiar with your work, if you could just talk a little bit to maybe your background and kind of your upbringing and really kind of how you got on the path to doing what you do now with your priestess work.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, if we go far back, I would say like most people who have found themselves in some spiritual type of place where they've landed, you know it from when you're a really young child. And I would say I was a pretty out there kid in terms of things I was seeing and thinking about and doing. And like many of us over time, we are told that that's not the way to live, that that's not okay. I grew up in a religious household. And so a lot of the things I thought were interesting in the books I was reading weren't really welcome. So I would say you know, there was a period where I kind of went away from what I knew to be true around the sacred and the feminine. And one of the things that really rang for me when I was young and in Sunday school was that I could specifically remember we had these stickers in a picture book, and we were pulling out all the stickers, and there was only one sticker of a woman, and it was Mother Mary. And I remember asking, like, where are all the girls? And I would say that that was the point where I started really trying to find the feminine and the sacred. And that was probably around 8 or 9 or 10 years old. I can't remember exactly. So that was where the journey, I would say, began. And then, you know, I detracted for some years in high school and early university, focusing on like meditation and yoga, but mostly business and what was, you know, expected by a society that I lived in to do. And so I was still doing my spiritual practice, but it wasn't as devoted until I came across this word priestess. And that was around 2010. Now, at this point, I still had a yoga practice and a meditation practice, but this was something different. This was something that was opening me up to really connecting with the sacred within me and finding the path where I was walking this path of love, and I was connected to the divine, and I could be the portal, and I could be these things. And at the same time, I could be giving back and of service. And so it was this infinity knot of receiving this understanding and wisdom, and then also understanding that there was more that I could be giving back to the world when walking this path. And that's kind of what the priestess path started for me. So I'd say that's how it began. And then there's, of course, a myriad of things that happened between 2010 and where we are today that has led me to the work I'm doing today, which is, well, teaching and holding space for women around the priestess path. I hold ceremonies and initiations and rites, and really it's a weaving with also the path I walked in business. And I have another area of my life where I'm teaching around the sacred and the feminine inside of business. And so that's kind of where I landed after, you know, doing this traditional studies and doing the mystery school studies in parallel for, you know, well over a decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so many of us can relate to that sort of path, especially religious upbringing and kind of trying to find the divine within yourself when there's only really the divine masculine that's present. So it's kind of like, how is that me? And so I think that's why another reason why too the priestess path kind of came to me too, is because I was so embedded in, as a child, in the divine masculine through Christianity and Jesus, that like finally when I like got more on my own individual spiritual path, there was that opening. And I feel like with the priestess, that's a big, there's so much you can get out of the priestess and the energy of the priestess and the sacred lineages. And it's just, there's so much there, but having that understanding of the divine feminine and connecting with that energy is this newer, deeper, more profound way of navigating your path in your life. And so it's been really awesome just like finding you and like connecting with you and like seeing how you're doing all of this is super interesting. And I would love to also speak more to that sort of time in between when you were like helping build the chess company and like being the CEO there. And like, I think that's super fascinating and like really interesting how you were able to do that. And then how you got from that into just spiritual entrepreneurship. And so what was that like for you?
When I tell people I was running a chess company for 8 years as a CEO and, you know, raising tens of millions of dollars, people always go, yeah, right. But if you Google, it's true. You know, it's one of those things in life where it's just serendipitous, where you're in the place at the time you're supposed to be, it flips into this whole adventure. And I think part of what I needed to understand from following that track of being in business and studying business and running businesses. And, you know, this wasn't my first business. It was probably my third official business, aside from also consulting a lot of other businesses. I really had to learn what it was to not have the feminine included in another channel. And that was in technology and business and business tech, to witness how separate the feminine was in terms of values and seen. And even as a woman, I can't count the times that I was the only woman in the boardroom, in the investment meetings, you know, despite the fact I hired on women and non-binary, and still I was the only one in the executive rooms. And it always felt like there was this missing understanding of what it would be to really lead a company from the place of love. In the company, I was able to do those things. But when it came to, you know, the stakeholders and everyone that was invested in the company, eventually this company went on the stock market, went public. You know, there's so many other factors at play that you see where the feminine is really missing. And it started for me with burning out. I was working such insane hours, and at the same time walking the priestess path. Every time I could get away, I would be pilgrimaging and on priestess types of pilgrimages. And one of the things that the priestess path really brought forward for me was the union, the eros gamos of the masculine and feminine. And it wasn't about these separates. It was about this unity. And so in understanding that in myself and living out this very isolated, masculine-based business, it was essential that I found ways to weave the feminine in, to find unity in some form in business. And so it started with cycle tracking, you know, cycle tracking my moon cycle in regards to how I was operating and how I was working within the business. And that was where it began. And then over the years, it became so apparent that this wasn't something that was going to be spreading on its own by me just doing it myself inside of the company I was running. Eventually, it came to me launching what was called the Feminine Code Business School, teaching about this alongside a lot of other different types of energetic healing modalities that could be used to really infuse a business with this other side, the intuitive feminine wisdom that was also in eros gamos with the masculine structure, analysis, and, you know, bottom line thinking. And when we bring both of those together, that's where there's a lot of magic.
And just shout out to Divine Feminine Code Business School. Like, thank the goddess it exists and you for bringing that through. Because honestly, like, I remember when I did the Divine Feminine Code Business School, and it's huge. Like, anybody in spiritual business needs to go through that, because it's like you have this deeper understanding of like how to anchor in the divine feminine through that more structured masculine kind of energy. And so holding it, right? So it was also pretty interesting, because so Kate's talking about this like divine masculine energy and feminine energy and bringing that together to create. And it's funny because you're, you know, such a mystic intuitive, and she's very engaging too within the container, which is awesome. So as we were going back and forth, I don't know if you remember this, but you actually sort of tapped in. We're like, oh, like I see like an egg for you and my vision for your business and all this stuff. And I literally bought an egg. Like before you said that to me, like I had bought this.
It was a red egg, wasn't it?
Yes. It's handmade. Like I waited like 2 weeks for it to ship, because it's like so beautiful and and detailed and stuff. And it's so perfect. And I just remember being like, yes. And having that deeper understanding of like, okay, you can, as a woman in this business, especially if you're a mystic or a priestess or whatever, however you identify, you can have all of these downloads, right? Like you can have these ideas and all of these things you want to do. But unless you have that structure, and that's what the egg represented for me, because the feminine would be representative to that like yogi inside. But then the masculine would be that shell that like contains and holds and has that physical structure. And when I first entered the business school, I actually barely had my website up. Like, I don't actually think I didn't have it up at first, and then I do now. So it was just interesting to like see how you need that in your business. And at first it's not so apparent. It just isn't. Like, you think you could just go through and like have a download and like put a link on your IG and people are going to like want to come buy shit and like connect with you. But that's, it's like, no, you need this like very strong, solid masculine energy, divine masculine energy to hold that container.
Yeah. It's never about one or the other. It's about finding the union and the unity. Because the moment the pendulum swings too far one way, we're out of balance. And, you know, it's been very far in the patriarchal system that we've been living in. But there was a time where it might have been too far in the matriarchal system. And so there's this swing that needs to happen to bring it back into center where both sides are honored and recognized for the value they bring.
Mm-hmm. And also too, just like all the deeper knowledge of the priestess. And that's what I love so much about it, is that you do get to learn about how, when women were truly like ruling shit and kind of like at the top of our game, and like the kings and the queens used to go to the priestesses to like ask them what they thought before making any major decisions. And like, it was just like a totally different vibe those thousands of years ago. So it's fun to do that. And so that sort of brings me to my next question about priestess, because this is something that I personally have had to go through and explain to even sister friends of mine that are like where I live and stuff, or like online. And they would be like, well, why do you have to say like priestess? Or like, how is that different from like a witch or a mystic? And it almost comes from this place where it seems a little combative. Like, that just might be my like thought on it. Like, it's like, why are you asking me? But then it's also kind of like, I get it. Like, and people want to know, like, why do you say that? And so you hold this so beautifully, which is why I love watching your IG and what you do. So what do you feel when it comes to the word priestess versus medicine woman, shaman, you know, witch, oracle, mystic? Like, what are your thoughts behind that?
Oh, that's such a good question, because labels are one of those things that separates us. And that's why there is such a charge when someone says, I'm a this, I'm a that, because not only is it separating, but it's also limiting. It's saying, I'm in this box. Now, the reason I use it is for a few reasons. The first is because this is a path that I devoted myself to many years ago, that I chose to walk as part of my initiatory journey, where I was actually training in becoming what is called a priestess. The other reason is because it makes it easier for people to understand what it is that I'm doing. Would I explicitly have said that earlier? Probably not. But because it's so intertwined with what I'm teaching these days, I do want to say that, yes, I am a priestess, but that's not all that I am. And when it comes to the question around the difference between the priestess, the witch, the oracle, the mystic, the shaman, the priestess as a role, like, priestess means elder. If you actually go to the etymology of the word, it means elder. And oftentimes elders were teachers. They were holding space for others to walk their path, hold the light, so to speak. And the priestess is of service, an elder of service. And so that means that she might be, or it could also be priest, she or he might be performing ceremony, holding ceremony, creating healing spaces, performing healing. And that's not to say that the priestess is doing the healing, but rather creating the space for the healing to happen. And that's the point of holding ceremonial space. And really, when one calls themselves a priestess, it means they're creating this space to hold the light for others and holding that space in love. And that's how I view the priestess, because a witch may be doing divinatory work and spell work and working for the greater good at all, good of all. Priestess is really the one who is holding the container for others. Whereas a witch will often work in solitude and sometimes in a coven and be working, you know, more internally. So yes, a priestess can be a witch as well. And there's a lot of crossover. And when it comes to the word oracle, she who sees, it's the oracular arts are something that many priestesses hold within them. And so in some ways, the priestess kind of contains a lot of these words in the work that she does or he does, but not necessarily in isolation. Whereas an oracle will be she or he who practices the oracular arts. And that's what they do. They foresee and they tell what they see. But there's, when it comes to the priestess, I feel it's a lot more around the ceremony, the ritual, the rites, the initiatory path. And so that's how I view it as something that's distinct.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's funny because that was the only path I've ever been on, like in spirituality. Like I learned a lot more about the energy of the word witch and oracle and mystic through understanding priestess, like being initiated and then finding other girls who went by that instead. And then sort of having a deeper understanding of, oh yeah, okay, she, like you mentioned, she does do more of that, where it is like divination work alone or oracle being more of the seer, psychic or something like that. And that can branch off into mediumship and all of this. So there's just, like you mentioned, I mean, it is just wording, but I think it does, it's important. And it does bring me to another question, which, like, and this is just something I've seen personally, like being in on like the priestess path specifically, and it makes me wonder if this goes down in like witch containers and like mystic containers, which I'm pretty sure it does. But like, what do you think about, have you ever had like other priestesses like have a problem with you calling yourself a priestess or a high priestess or anything like that? Or do you just not even?
Yeah. I mean, I know that it's triggered some people, yes. For example, in the lineage of the Rose lineage that I've initiated in, I've initiated as a high priestess. And that's not in order to differentiate or create a hierarchical structure, because I feel like that's a very old paradigm. What it meant inside of that lineage is that I was trained to the point where I could now train other women in this path to also initiate. So I was able to help people to get to the point where they would initiate themselves in the lineage, but would have the training to get to that point. And I know when I use the word high priestess, because there's that connotation of hierarchy, it does oftentimes trigger people. And so I don't use it that much. It's on my website that I've done it. But for me, you're never fully finished. This is a lifelong path and it's something that never ends. And I will forever be training and learning and humbled to how little I know. And at the same time, feel such a strong devotion to walking this path. So yeah, it can trigger people, but that's something that I've kind of gotten over. Like that's not my concern about what somebody else thinks about the words that are used. But I understand that there's resistance around the high priestess as a title because it does feel old. It does feel old paradigm, you know, but there's something that's very different than being and embodying the priestess archetype and having initiated as a priestess. Like there's real training involved to initiate where you've been training for years to initiate yourself into that path because ultimately nobody has power over you ever. You're sovereign in the priestess path, but there is training that goes with that. And oftentimes you'll need somebody to help guide you through that training because there's only so many books you can read before you need to understand how the embodiment works. And yeah, I think you understand what I'm saying. There's more to it, to really choose to initiate. It's choosing devotion. Yeah, I hope I answered your question. I think I went in two paths.
No, that was perfect because I've encountered that myself. And so that's why I just asked because I'm like, this is so weird. Like you would think of the last people on the earth that would ever try to like say anything would be other women who are priestesses. Or you're like, this is like so weird. Like I thought we're on the same team. Like what is it? And not that there are teams, but it's just like a weird feeling to like feel that from someone else who you know also walks the priestess path. It's kind of like, this is so weird. I mean, I guess you can, it's like, it goes without saying stuff like that is going to happen. But that's what I also love so much about your container, is just that it doesn't feel heavy at all. Like, it doesn't feel like there's this other kind of thing happening. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it just feels very clean. And it just feels like, okay, like it feels clean, it feels safe, feels like there's no like weird energy going down back here. You know, like, I don't know how to explain it, but other women who have been in many priestess containers will vouch for being like, oh, I know what you mean. Like, when you've entered someone's priestess container and you can sort of feel their shadow coming through their teachings in some way. Well, it's not like that at all with what you do. So that's why I love your container so much, because I'm like, there is no bullshit here. Like, it feels clean, clear. Like, there are so many, I remember like one of the first things you said in the Feminine Code Business School, we were like, oh, like, you all make sure you connect and share what you do with each other and share your gifts with each other, share your businesses with each other. That's why we're here, to connect. I've literally been in containers where they're like, don't share your work, because that's not why we're here. We're not here to platform your work. And so there's just so much that I've seen, and I didn't see any of that in where you are, like the things that you hold and the energy that you bring. So I value it, is what I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jen. What you speak to here is so important though, because it's twofold. Two things are coming through. A lot of the containers that exist are dogmatic in that they're saying this is the truth, but truthfully, most of the truth was burned, desecrated, hidden, you know, completely taken away. And so a lot of the truth is our own truth. And so for anyone to come and say, you know, this is the only path, it's false, because it's not the only path, because we actually don't have full proof to look at. What we can do is trust the intuition and the heart and the feeling, and that is the truth. And so that's also part of why in the Sacred Spiral Priestess training, I weave different lineages together, because there's no lineage that exists today that's completely pure in its essence, because it's all been woven and changed and also desecrated dramatically and devastatingly. And it's so important for us to remember that the real truth is what we remember. And when it comes to, you know, not sharing your gifts on, you know, in communities and things, this is very much witch wound. This is the fear of there not being enough, the fear of there being limitations to what's available for everyone. And, you know, oh, what if my business goes over there? Well, then maybe that person needed to go there for the business, but, you know, that was their path. And when we are working in the way of trying to put others down or limit others in what they're doing and where they're at in their journey, we're really just creating for ourselves that same energy to be experienced. And so the witch wound is very real. The sister wound is very real. And the only way that we can really stand up to that as priestess, as women in the world, is to honor each other and respect each other and support each other, even if you're operating in the same, you know, wheel of the year and in the same sea, the rising tide is going to lift all the boats. That's the ultimate truth.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Because yeah, I feel like that's important to say, like many women who are on this path can attest to, like, having had experienced those things. So yeah. So thank you so much for that clarity. And there's so much truth in that. Like, oh yeah, duh. Like, we're the ones like remembering and trying to bring it through. There's no like sure knowing that this is how it was, or this is the way it needs to be, or anything like that. We're pulling it through because so much of it was destroyed. So that's so valid. And do you ever feel like the word, okay, we see the word priest, and I know that feels more like it's connected to like Catholicism and more like religion and stuff like that. But do you feel like the word priestess will ever hit the mainstream in a way where it's honored and respected and kind of have its own thing again?
You know, that's such a good question, and something I've thought a bit about, because I've been using the word priestess in my work. Now, I do think it's going to get more understood. But I also sense that anytime we're labeling or titling something in our spirituality, there's always going to be a resistance. I mean, ultimately, we're all divine beings. We're all on the sacred path. And so I think in some ways it will come into the mainstream more. And then at the same time, it will continue rolling like everything does as more and more people step into their full power. And, you know, titles like priest and priestess aren't really relevant anymore because we're all consciously walking that path of love. I mean, that's what I think is the potential for us to experience. But I do think it's becoming more and more known as a word. I think there's a lot of people working in this world right now who are honoring this path and bringing light to it. But nothing is forever. And I feel like everything has its cycle and its time. And you know, what labels we use now might not be relevant or relatable in 20 years.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes about like the future of like priestesshood and stuff, because it feels like it's just kind of resurfacing in many ways. So it's like, I wonder like how, I don't know, I think about these things, like how many lifetimes will this last? Or hopefully it lasts forever and it becomes normal, right? Like we can drive down the street and see a priestess temple. That'd be cool. And not feel like that's strange or weird or out of the norm. And so it's just definitely, I know that seems like so far reaching, but it seems like it's possible. And so those are like sort of the smaller things that I hold on to with this. So I do want to talk about, of course, Feminine Co Business School, Priestess Schools, the Sacred Spiral Priestess Journey that you have. So what with these spaces that you hold, maybe you can share a little bit about what people can expect when they enter into these containers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that opportunity to talk about that. That's very kind. Well, the Feminine Co Business School is very targeted to women who are starting or scaling up businesses that either have just come up with the idea and they're ready to start moving, or they have the idea in the business, but they want to scale in a way that is more in alignment with who they are. And so the business can be any kind. It could be a spiritual business, but it doesn't have to be. It's really about you, because you and your energy are the business. And so that container runs every spring. We start at spring equinox, so we're in the midst of the season 5 right now, actually. And it runs for 8 weeks. And then the content is for a year after, because, you know, business is not linear. It is cyclical. And so there's this experience of coming into this container where you're meeting live every week and a half and learning from other experts in different fields and also weaving in the mystical. So that's the Feminine Co Business School. And then the Sacred Spiral Priestess Journey is the first spiral in a multiple year journey of walking the initiatory path of the priestess. And so there's several more spirals that come, but they're not all on the site yet, because I started the first spiral last fall. And so each spiral is a year, and we dive into different pieces and parts of the priestess lineage and learning the embodiment practices and the traditions that we can find, because there are some lineages that we can come into, and there are some documentation and archaeological evidence, especially around the Melissae of ancient Greece and ancient Egypt. So there are certain areas we can dive into. And so the Sacred Spiral Priestess Journey is the first spiral. It's like the foundational priestess training. And then from there, we spiral deeper and deeper. And that's what the Priestess School is. It's the culmination of these different spirals. And it's about walking your own initiatory journey. And if you do choose to initiate at a certain point, there is a point to do that within that training. That's kind of the main work I'm doing now that's public and on the outside, aside from working with my mentees one-on-one.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make sure to get all of that in there because, yeah, I love the containers that you hold. It's rare and special. like I'm not just saying that. Like, it's pretty rare to see these happen in a way that feels comfortable and safe and true. And like I said, clear is big. So definitely check all of that out. I'm going to be sure to link everything in the show notes with Kate and like all of her different containers so that you can check her out online. And of course, check out her IG. I mean, it's basically cinematography. I don't even know what to say. Like, there's just every time I go on there, I'm like, okay, this is like fabulous. Like, that's fabulous. Like, I was like, it's just like amazing. So you have to just go on there and look if you haven't yet. And that's at This Is Kate Murphy, which is awesome and hilarious because that's also like when we met each other in Egypt, we're like, what's your IG? We had the same exact IG handle, and then we had the same exact color journal too. It was just so funny. So yeah, I will link all of that below. And I just have to ask because a friend of mine was like, you have to ask her this question, which is, do you have a favorite person that you go to in terms of business and spirituality that maybe like you follow and it's like your go-to person that maybe we can check out to?
Oh, there's so many people I love in the spiritual and business world. I mean, the first person I'll give a shout out is to one of my dear friends who I actually was a client of hers at first when I was deep in the business world. I was visiting her healing center in New York. That's Deborah Hainekamp, who's at Mama Medicine. I would love to point people in her direction. She's a just amazing woman. But gosh, like, where do I even begin? There's so many people that I just admire and honor so much. But I would start there because she's the first that came to my mind when you asked the question.
Yes, definitely check her out online. It's at Mama Medicine. Pretty sure you've heard of her. She's amazing and also just beautiful website, beautiful energy. I'm on her newsletter too, as well as Kate's, which Kate has an amazing newsletter that has like a breakdown of like everything every month in terms of the Wheel of the Year and energies that are coming through. Also just like cool things to check out, like in terms of holistic care and stuff. That's like some of my favorite stuff to look at as well. So thank you so much for this. What are you excited that's for, like that's coming up for you or even in the collective?
I'm working on a few things. I'm starting a book, but I can't say much more around that. But that's in the works. And also hopefully getting to the point where I can start working with my mentees in person on my property if things work out in the next few weeks. Mercury retrograde and eclipse season dependent. I'm guessing by the time this episode comes out, there will be some resolution around that.
Yeah. That's brave of you. Kate's confirming and herself into a one location, right? Like basically getting a house or something. So that's what I think you're speaking to there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I'll let you know whether or not to keep that part in.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like to be continued. I'm sure we'll see more on that. So what, can we look out for in terms of any offerings coming up? I know you said Feminine Business School is obviously taking place right now.
Yeah.
And then the relaunching of, is the Sacred Spiral, is that always happening? And the Priestess Schools are always happening?
Yeah, so the Sacred Spiral is a one-year container. So that's my first year, my first spiral, and that will reopen its doors in October. So October will be the next intake for the next spiral, and those that are in the Sacred Spiral will then go into the next spiral if they wish to continue the journey. So that will all happen this fall.
Amazing. So much to look out for. I'm excited for everything you have coming up because we need more of this. We need more containers like this and more energy like this in the world. So thank you for all that you do. Keep doing what you're doing. I love it. Everybody loves it. And it's just fun to see you in action with it all.
Oh, Jen, thank you so much. And thank you too for what you're doing and for also sharing this story with your audience and so generously sharing with me what you've been up to. I'm so excited to see where things continue to move with your own business and the work you're doing. So thank you too.
Yes. And I'll definitely be keeping you up to date with everything. Like, the house is burning down. Like, what is happening? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And we'll have to do this again soon at some point.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at This Is Jen Torres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God, and so are you.